Hi, how are you? Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos, and I am here to geek out with you about trees. You know, I've been getting some emails about how to plant trees, and people are wondering, you know, I get two different emails. I get an email, how do we transplant a tree? And is this a good time of year to do it? And right now, it is springtime, and it's not the most ideal time of year to transplant a tree. And I also get emails about, hey, we want to, we want to plant just a tree that we buy at the nursery. Well, you know, you can do that now. And we're going to talk about right now exactly how you do that. The important things about buying a tree from a nursery or a tree farm is how you get them. Some of them will be in large pots. Some of them will be what we call bald and burlapped. You'll just see burlap wrapped around the root ball. Either way, we want the tree to be looking good. When we see the tree that we're going to buy to stick into the ground, we want to make sure that it looks really good. This is a way I do this. It's called the dime test. I take a thin dime and I walk around that tree and I scrape a little tiny bit of the cambium layer from far out branches, just a tiny bit, to see if I get green. If I get green, that's a good thing because that means that life is going out throughout the tree. Now, if I run into a situation where I'm not, it's just getting down to just wood, and we want to see how much of the tree is affected that way. That's dead growth. We don't want dead growth. Dead growth is a weird word, isn't it? But yeah, it's dead. It's not growing. But anyway, when we see dead wood, we don't want to be happy about that, and we might look for another tree. So that's an important thing that we do as we're going through this process. With ball and burlap, there's another little trick that I have. I'm not advocating that you do that, but I want to examine the roots if I can. And I have been known, oh man, am I going to admit this? I have been known to have a sharp knife with me and to slice through a little bit of that burlap on the side and open it up just a tiny, tiny bit. Oh, by the way, I always carry duct tape with me to fix the little thing that I slice. I just carry, a little bit of duct tape. Today, I would be carrying Gorilla Tape because I just like it so much better. But anyway, I slice that open, and then I open it up just a little bit, maybe a 6-inch slice, reach down with my two thumbs, pull it open, and take a little, little tiny look. And what I want to look at in the roots is if I see a lot of brown roots that are just circling around this thing, that means it's old stock. That means it's been there for a long time. If I see white roots or light-colored roots, I'm going to feel a lot better. Now, am I going to eliminate the tree if I'm seeing nothing but brown roots wrapped around it? Not necessarily. If the rest of the tree passes the first test, the dime test, if the rest of the tree passes that and it looks very healthy and the price is right, I'm going to buy that tree. But I like the newer root structure. I like the newer inventory. But if the price is right, I will buy that. Now, you bought your tree. They're either going to deliver it to you or you've got a pickup truck and you're going to take the thing home. If you're going to take the thing home, make sure that we do what is called California-ing it. That means you don't sit the thing to where it goes straight up in the air. You lay it down on its side. And so when the wind comes, from the truck, it's blowing from the top and it's just better. It's just, it's just better and it's safer and it puts less stress on the tree. Then we're going to get that tree home. Now we're going to measure the pot to see how wide it is. We need to know how deep to dig the hole. Or we're going to measure the ball from the burlap and see where it is and how it's happening. That's very important to do because we want to make sure we dig a hole that's big enough. Now, here's what we want to do. We want to dig the hole about, a half a foot wider than, the ball or the pot, because we want some room to do some stuff in there, all right? You're going to dig the hole. You're also going to measure down the depth of the pot or the depth of the ball, and you're going to dig down there. Are we done then? Are we ready to slap that tree in? No, we got to do, we want everything to be very successful. So what we're going to do is we're going to do some stuff with the hole in the ground that we have created. We're going to make the hole in the ground a place where that tree is going to love to live. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to slap some cow manure in there. We're going to put some peat in there. If we've got any compost laying around, if we have a compost pile, we're going to throw that in there. You might even want to buy a bag of compost and, you know, twirl that around in there. You want to get in there with a shovel and just work it all up, make it sure everything's nice and loose and wonderful and everything is great. Then we want to set our tree. Now, here is the most important thing that you have to consider when it comes to setting the tree in the hole. We want the top of the soil, if it's in a pot, the very top of that soil, or if it's in a ball, the very top of that soil. And by the way, you put the burlap in the hole to start with. Just put it in there. Then you cut the burlap out, and then you pull the burlap out. There are people, and I see this happen all the time, especially a lot of commercial people, they just leave the burlap wrapped and hope that the roots are going to work their way through it. They're not. Okay, I've seen this so many times, over and over again. And then I see homeowners doing the same thing because that's what they've been told. I'm telling you, no. I forbid you to do that. Take the burlap off. Make sure that the tree is now situated to where when we fill in all the rest of the dirt, it is going to be at the same level that it is in the pot or on the soil that is inside the burlap bag. We don't want it lower. You definitely do not want it lower. It has to be level with the ground. Okay, that's very, very, very important. If you make it lower, if it gets lower, what is going to happen is the soil is going to come around the trunk of the tree, and it's just going to get in there, and it's going to rot into the cambium layer. The tree's going to get diseased, and it's going to die. We see it happen all the time. By the way, that's not the only place we see that happen. I remember years ago going out with one of the cooperative extension agents in the county that I live in. I was on the advisory committee for the Cooperative Extension Service, and I went out with a young lady by the name of Mary Jane Billinger, and we went and did a house call, and a woman had built a planter around an oak tree, and she filled it with soil, and the oak tree had about 2 foot of soil around the trunk, and the tree was suffering. And I didn't say anything. Mary Jane walked right up, saw it, and she looked at me. I didn't say anything. She said, "How long has this been here?" And the woman said, "Oh, we did that about 8 months ago, and the tree's dying." She said, "If you want the tree to live, you got to take this down and remove all the soil and get it down to ground level." She was very direct. I was very proud of her. She did very, very well. And that's what, you know, the lady did. And then, but just by doing that, it saved that tree. But let's get back to our tree that we're planting now. Okay, you want to put that in the soil. Here's the next thing you're going to do. Remember, you got about 6 inches around the side of the hole that is just sitting there? I want you to take a 1 gallon pump up sprayer. I want you to fill it full of water. And I want you to put one cap full of Super Thrive in there. I have nothing to do with Super Thrive. I get no money for this. I buy it myself. But I'm just telling you, the successful arborists use Super Thrive on all of their transplant. Okay? A friend of mine moved a giant oak tree in Clearwater, Florida, about 100 feet so that they could build a building where the oak tree was. And the reason he was so successful, if you go down Fort Harrison Avenue, right across from the Fort Harrison Hotel, you'll see a big building that the people that own the hotel have. And right next to it, you'll see this tree that has been transplanted and is alive and thriving because Lauren, the guy that put the tree in, removed the tree, treated all of the roots with Super Thrive. He had a 100-gallon tank with it mixed up in there, and they were moving it. They had big cranes moving it. They were underneath spraying all of the roots and spraying, you know, all around there. That's what you want to do with our tree that we're now planting. I want you to bathe that puppy in Super Thrive, and the most efficient way to do that is with a pump-up sprayer, and, you know, just set it out, the largest cone spray that you've got, and just saturate. Just use the whole gallon, mixed gallon, on your tree and put it in there. Then you start backfilling in. When you get about halfway through or maybe a quarter way through, throw a handful of Osmocote in there, sprinkle it all the way around. Osmocote is a slow-release fertilizer. then, you know, that is done. Bring it right up to the top. You take a hose and you lay the hose on and just trickling water because you want to pack that soil. We don't want any air gaps. No air gaps at all. You're going to take your foot and you're going to stomp it in there. Some people put a little dam around that area so that they can water it every day and the water won't run off to other areas. You can do that if you want to. I don't, but you can. And then, boom goes the dynamite. You got to plant a tree. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. How you doing? Man, you're listening to the Ask the Garden Geek radio show. My name is Michael Kroos, and we are here to talk. We're here to talk. Yeah, and answer gardening questions and stuff like that. All right? Some things I need to cover with you, okay? Some things that I need to cover with you. This is a radio show. And there is, besides the radio show, which, by the way, if you did not hear, is ending on November 29th. All right, this radio show will stop broadcasting on November 29th. But don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be right up your alley and in your ear. And maybe up your, no, I, not up your nose. But you're going. I'm going to be there for you. I'm not leaving you. I'm excited as can be. We have a podcast now. It's called, guess what it's called? Oh, how hard is this? Ask the Garden Geek. And you can get to it simply by going to any of the places where you get podcasts. Any place where you get podcasts, you can get this. For example, let me look. We are on Anchor. We are on Overcast. We are on Spotify. Spotify is very popular. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're all over the place. So please, please, please look for us in these locations and you will find, just look for Ask the Garden Geek there and you will find our weekly podcast. Now, what's different about the podcast from the radio show is as we get going on that, and we just got it going and we hooked up with a hosting, you know, service and all of that, and we're kind of getting some things straightened around on it. But as we move along on that, we're posting every week, by the way, religiously every week. I think about every Friday you can find a new one on there. So it'll be there. But as things get a little bit better and we work out some of the bugs, we are going to do what we don't do on the radio. And that is we're going to have guests. We're going to have authors on. We're going to have guest on that from manufacturers, you know, that make lawnmowers and fertilizer and all kinds of stuff like that there. And so that will be there. You'll be able to, you know, do that. And there will also be a phone number available for you to call. We will let you know what that is as we get that worked out and ask a gardening question. It'll go into a voicemail thing and I'll pull it out and we'll use those on the podcast. So I am so excited about this. I am just absolutely so excited about this. There's two episodes up right now, Welcome to Spring and All About Spring for Your Shrubs. So you can listen to that. There will be another one up there. Well, by the time you hear this, there will be yet another one about planting trees. Oh, you say you just heard me talking about planting trees in the last segment? Anyway, That's what's happening there. So Ask the Garden Geek. We do not have it connected to our website yet, but we will, which is askthegardengeek.com, which is right now a blank website. If you go to it, it just says there. But soon that will connect you immediately to our host where you can listen to all of the shows and everything is dandy and wonderful and great. And I hope that you share the shows, because there's a little share button where you listen to it. You can share it. You can share it on Facebook or on Twitter or on email. You know, you got a brother-in-law in Kentucky, and you said, you should hear this guy. You know, he's weird. Just, you can email him the link to the podcast, and then, you know, your weird cousin in Kentucky can listen to it, and he can like what we're doing, and life will be beautiful, and all of that good type of stuff like that there. So there, enough about that. Got questions about how to plant buffalo grass? You're asking the wrong guy. You are asking, but I do know how to plant buffalo grass, but I cannot plant buffalo grass where I live. Not for lack of trying. Not for lack of trying. Buffalo grass grows really well in Missouri. It grows real well in Kansas, real well in Kansas. Areas like that. Even parts of Colorado and, you know, all in that whole area over there, buffalo grass. And what I love about buffalo grass is that, number one, it is the one true only native turf grass in America. And the other thing that I like about it is that at its very height, it will grow up to about 6 inches. So here's what I like about it. If you've got like a hillside, buffalo grass will hold that soil in there really well, and you don't even have to mow it. It's only going to grow 6 inches, and, you know, it's fine. It's just fine. If you have a big piece of property and you want there to be grass on the large piece of property, but you don't want to maintain the grass, you can plant buffalo grass. It's very inexpensive to plant, and it's right out there. And it will grow, and then you can mow it up around the house. You know, you can make the front yard look nice and all that, but let the rest of it just grow, and it will be fine. Now, it does get seed heads, so I like to mow it ever so once in a while. But you don't have to if you don't want to. The seed heads are very good because that generates more buffalo grass and makes it actually thicker as life goes on. But buffalo grass is really good. The only problem that we have with buffalo grass is chlorosis. It gets an iron deficiency, which is very easy to handle. Slap some milorganite on that puppy, and the iron, there's, what is it, 2.5% iron in the milorganite, it'll turn it a nice dark green. If you don't want to do that, get some liquid iron, put it in a Ortho hose-in sprayer, my favorite hose-in sprayer. Again, not financially connected to them at all yet. They should buy spots on the show. But I like that. You can slap some liquid iron on there. It'll turn it this nice dark green almost immediately. But it's very nice. But how do you plant it? Well, there's a couple of ways to plant it. They sell it in what's called tusk. You can buy like boxes of it where they're just like little tusks, and you take those and you set them in the ground. And up until a couple of years ago, that was the main way to do it. Then they started growing plugs, and you can buy grass plugs, and you put them 20 to 30 inches apart in a checkerboard area. Seed, it's really rough to do. Either the tusk or the plugs are the way to go. I like the plugs, and here's something that really makes me mad. They actually grow buffalo grass plugs about 80 miles south of me here in Florida. Yeah, there's a sod farm down there. I went down and looked at the operation. They grow buffalo grass plugs, and they slap them on semi trucks, and they ship them out to the Midwest for sale to nurseries out there. Well, I was there. I said, I want a couple of trays. I'm going to try to grow. And they said, it's not going to grow in Florida. I said, I want to try. They said, okay, here, you know, off with you. Go try. I planted an area on the side of my house that I thought would be perfect. I amended the soil that I thought would be perfect. I planted the plugs. I watered them. I took care of them. I fertilized them. They all died. You know, and I'm pretty good at growing things. I really am, especially turf grass. You know, and I just had it in my mind that I wanted to do that. And it just, so I actually went down and got two more trays and tried it in another area. It still didn't work. But I know you'll have better luck if you live in the Midwest. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. Alrighty then. I'm getting a whole bunch of email about this product for lawns that is all over the YouTube. I know I've said never mention YouTube on the radio show, but the radio show's ending, so I'm going to mention it. And because it's important and because I'm getting emails on it. But there's a bunch of people talking about a product called Next. And it's a liquid product that you add, that you spray on your lawn in addition to fertilizer. In addition to fertilizer. And it's supposed to do all of these wonderful things to it. There's a guy that has a YouTube channel called The Lawn Care Nut. He's one of the people. He's just south of me. He seems like a really nice guy. We both worked for the same company at one time, many, many years ago. Not together. Never knew him. Don't know him personally, but we worked at the same company. And he is pushing this on his website, which I find to be very interesting. It's called Next Biostimulant Pack. It's $104 for a gallon of this stuff. And he says on his videos, and by the way, he's not the only one. There's all kinds of people that do lawn care stuff on YouTube that are talking about this stuff and saying how it is the most wonderful thing in the world. So everybody wants to know what I think about it. All right, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at the guaranteed analysis of this product. It has total nitrogen, 0. Nitrogen, very important. Potash, 2%. Magnesium, 0.05. Sulfur, 3%. That's nice. Copper, 0.05%. Iron, 3%. Not bad. Manganese, 0.025. Zinc, 0.015. Derived from, let me get this over here so I can read this, because, you know, and I can read now on the computer because I got my cataract surgery done, but I want to get this, I have to move the mouse around here to do this. So let me read this. It says, derived from sulfate of potash, magnesium sulfate, sulfur sulfate, ferrous sulfate, and anomonious magnesium sulfate, zinc sulfate, leonite shale. Product contains non-plant food ingredients, humic acid, derived from leonardite. Humic acid, 8% derived from that. Okay. Cold water kelp, 2% as a growth stimulant. So that's what's in here. Okay. And then it says here what you're supposed to do with it. Let's take a look at that. The 002 microgreen fertilizer is formulated for soil. I should have printed this up, but I'd have to use the other computer to do that. So I'm just reading it off the screen, or trying to, that has in plant health. The 002 microgreen, and they have that trademarked. Isn't that interesting? Product will stimulate roots and soil activity necessary to significantly deepen the topsoil layer of the lawn, which will have a profound impact on the health, fertility, and water-holding capability or capacity. All right, recommendations. A micronutrient product to add to another product that they sell, which is an 1801 or a 901 liquid fertilizer. They want you to use both of them. And by the way, those other fertilizers are outrageously expensive as well. Complete product for turf grass application during the fertilizer blackout periods. When local in other words, they're saying you can put it during the blackout. Where I live, June 1st is blackout. Because there's no nitrogen, you can put this on then. And with the 3% iron that's in it, it's going to green up the yard a bit. It's going to do a good thing. But again, very expensive. Iron, very cheap. This product, very expensive, 100 and whatever it is dollars a gallon. So, you know, it is a little pricey. It is just a little bit pricey. But it looks nice, you know. And then they've got the Next Biostimulant Pack for $104, which is yet another product. But they've got several of these products. Here's the thing. I've been seeing this for a long time. I've been seeing this for a long, long time. Having a fertilizer product to sell is very expensive as far as regulations, with the state and, you know, fertilizer labeling and all that. But other companies can they can do this themselves simply by creating a product. Oh, by the way, did you hear my timer in the back? It was my Alexa timer. I've got baked potatoes going in the oven, and I had to stop and run out, stick the thermometer in, set 199. I like them at 210. So, you know, I had it set another timer. So we're going to let it go about another 12 minutes. But anyway, they can make these products and not have them be fertilizers. And the regulation is pretty much nil. Now, an excellent example of that where it is good would be a product like Super Thrive. Super Thrive is not a fertilizer. It is a stimulant, and it is a very good one. It's very popular. This one, I don't know if it's good. I got to try it. Now, I trust Alan Hain, the lawn care nut. He's a pretty smart guy. He swears by this stuff. But again, he's selling it. He's got a warehouse down in Palmetto or someplace where he lives, and he's selling it. So there might be bias there. I would say that to his face. There might be bias there. But then again, probably not. But there might be. So I want to buy some. And I want to try it on, of course, my yard. And just see the difference. And see what it does. I've been watching videos from around the country where people are putting it down. And I got to tell you, you know, this is before we use the Nexton. This is after. I can't tell the difference. Maybe it's just not good video quality. Maybe it's my computer monitor. Maybe I should watch it on my high-definition television. I don't know. There was a guy. I had him on the show a couple of times. Guy was as boring as the day is long, but very knowledgeable. A guy by the name of Ray Nielsen. And he used to have several companies, but he used to have a company that made products similar to this, mostly for agriculture. They were all biostimulant type things that he made for agriculture. But then, I don't know, 15 years ago, he came up with a bunch of products for lawns that were not fertilizers, okay, because he didn't want to get into that situation where the Department of Agriculture was coming out and testing the product. Because I will tell you, if you manufacture a fertilizer, the Department of Agriculture goes out to where you sell that product and they pull some out of it and they run samples. And if everything isn't exactly right, the fines are outrageous. I mean, it is horrendous, just absolutely horrendous. So Ray never wanted to get involved in that. He never wanted to manufacture fertilizer because he didn't want to deal with the Department of Agriculture. I guess I don't blame him, but there's a lot of fertilizer companies, actual real fertilizer companies in Florida. Sunnyland would be one of them. That would just be one example of one. But there's several fertilizer companies in Florida. Scotts has a plant. Scotts Fertilizer has a plant in Sebring, Florida. They follow all the rules and they do everything right, and they deal with the Department of Agriculture. But getting back to these things, these companies who make this, it's relatively easy to manufacture this stuff. And Ray had a whole line of lawn products, but he did never call them fertilizers, and he actually never even said, I think he was even, you know, cagey about saying that they were for lawns. But I guess on the labeling it did say, you know, for turf grass. But there was a product very similar to what we're talking about here with this next product. And I have been looking, you know, somewhere around here. I've got some of these old labels of his product. If I don't, my good buddy Ralph does. I'll have to, you know, Ralph saves everything. And I'll have to get with Ralph and see if he has any of those labels left around, because I would like to research this and I would like to compare the products. But one of the things this product talks that it does, because of the humic acid and all that, is they say that it makes your lawn, you know, makes the soil hold water for a longer time. Now, there's a product, another one of these products out there called Hydratain, not a fertilizer, but it's got humic acid and a bunch of stuff in it, and they say that it makes the lawn need to be watered less. Well, Hydratain's been around for a while and has a track record behind it. I have used it before. So that's a good product, but I don't know about this next product. I want to try it out. Maybe on the podcast version of this show, I'll see if I can get Alan Hain to come on and talk about it. Because he's, you know, I'm going to invite him. I'm not being adversarial. Stuff might be wonderful. I, you know, but a lot of Ray's products that he put out, you know, I actually went up and kind of snuck into the back to see how he manufactured all of this stuff. I wasn't terribly impressed. I just wasn't. You know, I just wasn't. But we want to check on this. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. And the fun continues. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the chief geek in charge. We've been talking about all kinds of things in this hour. One of the things we were talking about were these products. And surprisingly enough, during the break, between the last segment and this segment, I got an email. Oh, yeah. I just got an email. Oh, I can't sing that song. Remember that show? You know, I am so old, I had kids that were into the Mr. Rogers thing all the way down to that guy. You know, what was that guy? You know, Blue's Clues. You know, five kids. It's just weird. Anyway, I got an email from a guy who wants to send me a granule product that is a soil additive and stuff. And he's making all kinds of claims about it. So I emailed him back and said, send me some. He immediately emailed me back and said, here's my home phone number. Give me a call. I immediately called him, which then I realized, I called him from my cell phone number. That probably wasn't real smart. But anyway, the guy seemed genuine, you know, and so as it turns out, next Friday, I'm going to go meet him over in Plant City, which is about, I don't know, 70 miles from here. So I'm going over to see where they manufacture this stuff. And then I'm going to bring some of it home and I'm going to try it on my yard. And he's, you know, I didn't have time to talk a lot. I looked at what he had to say. And then, you know, we went from there. I don't know what will happen. But he may want to buy some advertising and I'll sell him some advertising if the stuff is good. If the stuff is not good, then I won't. It's just the way things are. You know. Now that other product, you know, the stuff from years ago that I was telling you about before, there was one version or one product that he had that was really, really good. It had humic acid in it and it had some other stuff in it. And when we sprayed it on yards, the yards needed less watering. And I mean significantly less watering. Now, another product has since come on the market called Hydratane. And I have used Hydratane, and it's pretty widely distributed in the South. I don't know about the Midwest or the North, but it's pretty well, and a lot of people are using it, and it's very good. And the ingredients, you see, I don't have a copy of the label of that old product, but I have a copy of the label of Hydratane. As a matter of fact, I got 2 gallons of it out in my garage. And I know what's in that. I would love to compare it to that old product. So I'm going to call my friend Ralph later, and I'm going to see if he's got copies of the labels, and we'll go from there. But I'm intrigued. I'm just intrigued. Darn it, Hydratane's expensive. Good stuff, though. I mean, I bought it, and I'm putting it. As a matter of fact, We're coming into summer now, and I'm putting it on my front yard because I don't water my yard. I let nature water my yard, but I want my yard to be able to retain moisture longer. And Hydratane does that. So I'm going to put that on my yard this week, probably this weekend sometime. And I hope that works. Anyway, back to the fun, back to the emails. And I have an email about subterranean termite baits again. People are wanting to know about subterranean termite baits, and there's lots of them on the market. And someone sent me a thing about a product that I'm not familiar with. I must go on record as saying the only subterranean termite baiting system that I would ever use or that I recommend would be the Centricom system. It's expensive, but I will tell you that the standard of excellence is high. The standard of how they stand by the product is high. And that is the only one. There's a lot of them out there. There's one called Advance that's out there. There's a Home Guard that's out there. There's this one that was just sent to me. I forget the name of it. They, you know, sent me a bunch of propaganda, and they said they're sending me one or some of them. I don't know why. I don't have termites, and I don't want it, but they want me to put it around my house and see what I think. I will do that, but I will say I just seen all of the research, and there's lots of research on termite baiting. And termite baiting was basically created by a doctor of entomology with the University of Florida down in Fort Lauderdale at the research station down there. And his research is what turned into Centricom. And the standards are extremely high, and it is extremely effective. I seen it work miracles. I've seen it work absolute miracles. And so that is the only one that I don't have anything to do with them at all. Again, another situation. I have nothing to do with them at all. But that would be the one that I would recommend to someone for subterranean termites. If you wanted to go with baiting, if you didn't want hundreds of gallons of chemicals being put around your house, and you wanted something that was, you know, less intrusive into the environment, it would have to be something that works, and Centricom works. The other baiting systems probably work if they're taken care of. But you see, with Centricom, you have to take care of it, because if you're a pest control company that applies Centricom, they have access to your computer systems and access to your records and access to all of your customer files, so they know if it's being taken care of, and they send out people to check, spot check on many of your customers to make sure that everything is being handled correctly. So for that, I go with the Centricom system is the one I would recommend. So the Home Guard system is another one that I like a lot, and I like it a lot if it is being applied by Home Guard Pest Control, which is a Florida pest control company, although they sell the bait to companies all over the country. And I will tell you, it's extremely effective, but again, it has to be maintained. It is extremely, extremely effective, but it has to be maintained. As a matter of fact, if you go to my YouTube channel, you'll probably find a video I made on the Home Guard. I had the owners of the Home Guard system come out, and we put it around a house that I knew had termites, and it was miraculous. It was, you know, incredible. You can see it on the video. But again, it has to be with somebody who would maintain it. And the only ones I know who would maintain it would be the people who manufacture it. So I can't recommend another company doing it for you. So with that, I stick with the Centricom system, and it works very, very well. And the bait is really, really well. And they're very picky about what companies can put the product down for them. So that is my recommendation. I hope that helps. I hope you're having a wonderful week, and you're listening to Ask the Garden Geek and the Termite Geek, I guess. I don't know. Take care, everybody.